stand with us this morning. I'm going to tell you, I was coming down the road, and God laid this message on my heart and said, I want you to preach this, and so I want to be obedient to God. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said, Son, saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let him hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one win them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, Lord, we want to thank you this morning for your presence. We want to thank you for what you're doing in this place. And God, we confess this morning that we all need you. Lord, we need thee every hour, as the songwriter said. And God, I pray this morning that you would do the work that no man can do. Speak to every heart. God, may you get the glory and may you get the honor, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I know you're familiar with this text this morning if you're a Bible reader, but I want you to notice this rich man that the Bible talks about in verse number 19. The Bible said there was a certain rich man. And I want to think about this certain rich man that the Bible talks about here in this text this morning. And I want you to look at something in particular. The Bible said in verse number 24, and he cried. Amen. And I want you to think about this rich man. And I want you to think about this rich man's cry, and I want to preach on the subject this morning on a cry from hell. A cry from hell. That's what God laid on my heart this morning as I was coming to church. And I want us to consider this man for just a moment. I want us to consider his life here on earth. When we think about the rich man, we know that he had life. He was alive. God let him live upon this earth. We don't know how many years he lived, but we know that God had blessed him with the opportunity to have life. You know, life in and of itself is a gift from God. Isn't that right? I mean, even a lost man could thank God that God let him be born and breathed his air. If you're here this morning and you have life, you ought to thank God, because it's God that put the breath in your body. It's God that gave you the mobility to get out of bed this morning. It is God that keeps your heart beating with every pump and with every beat. It is God who is the giver of life. For the Bible said in him we move and we have our being. Amen. And so we know that this man had life. We know that he had luxuries. The Bible said in verse number 19 that he was clothed in purple and fine linen. Amen. I mean, here's a man that didn't just have life, but he had the finer things of life. He had the things that life had to offer, the materialistic things. But we also know that the Bible says that life does not consist in the abundance of things. Amen. You can have a lot of things in life and never know what life is really about. You can have a lot of things in life and be miserable. You can have a lot of things in life and still not be happy. Amen. For money and riches and things, they're not sin in and of themselves, but they cannot bring peace and they cannot bring security. So here's a man that had life, and here's a man that had luxuries, and here's a man that had liberty. The Bible said in verse 19 that he fared sumptuously every day, meaning this man lived to the fullest. He lived life to the fullest every day. He spent what he wanted to. He went where he wanted to go, and he did what he wanted to do. I mean, if there was anybody we read about in the Bible that just did whatever they wanted to do in life, it was this man. He had the money to do what he wanted to do. He had the liberty to go where he wanted to go. I mean, he knew no limitations in this life. And you know, there's a lot of people sitting here today in this church and in across America that they're just like this man. I mean, they have life. God has given them life. They have fine things. You might be here and say, well, I'm not rich, but compared to the rest of this world, we're all rich this morning. Amen. I mean, we all have a roof over our head. We all have clothes on our back and shoes on our feet and probably more in the closet than we know what to do with. I'm talking about we are rich. Amen. We have the luxuries of life. Nobody rode a mule or a wagon to church this morning, but you rode in a nice automobile. You sat on a padded pew in church. You got a bed. You got a pillow. Amen. You're not worried about where your next meal's coming from. I'm telling you, every single one of us, we have the luxuries of life here in America, don't we? And I tell you, we have liberty, don't we? And I thank God for Donald Trump. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, I thank God every day he's in office. Amen. And I say that for two reasons. Number one, because I mean it. Number two, I want to aggravate some Democrats this morning. Amen. But I'm just telling you, don't you thank God we got liberty? Amen. Now, I wouldn't vote him in as a Sunday school teacher, but I'm glad he's our president. Amen. I'm just simply saying this morning, I thank God it looked like our liberties were going to be gone. Amen. And I'll tell you what's happening in America, if we all pay attention to it. God has answered the prayers of his people, and God has showed us a space of grace and given us mercy, and we are seeing a political revival take place, and if the church will just wake up, and if we'll have spiritual revival, God could bring this country back to him again. Amen. Now the hope is not in the White House, and the hope is not in our president. The hope is in the church house and the people of God. I tell you what, we're seeing on the outside, it ought to make us hungry on the inside to want to take the liberties that God has given us and use them for the glory of God and the spiritual well-being of this country. Amen. What that means is, if you're a child of God, you ought to get hungry. Amen. I'm saying, here's a man that had life. He had luxuries. He had liberty, liberties. And then this man had light. Amen. You see, this man knew about the things of God. You say, how do you know that? Because when he looked across that great gulf into hell, the Bible said he saw Father Abraham, and he recognized him, didn't he? He said to him, Father Abraham, he said, Abraham, send Lazarus. He recognized Abraham. He recognized Lazarus. He knew who Abraham was. He knew that he didn't want his brethren to go to hell. Obviously, he knew that Lazarus would witness to those five brethren. How did he know that? Probably because he knew that Lazarus knew something about the things of God as well. Here's a man that did not go to hell in the dark, but he went to hell in the light. He wasn't somebody just walking up and down the streets who didn't know anything about the gospel or didn't know anything about how to get saved. He was a man, my friend, that had been introduced to the things of God. He knew the things of God, but he did not get saved. Amen. And in verse number 23, the Bible says, and in hell, he lift up his eyes. Here's a man in hell. He had everything life had to offer. Liberties, luxuries. I mean, here's a man that had light, but he went to hell anyway. You know, there are people that have sat in America and sat in our churches. They're just like this man. God's given them life. They have luxuries. They have liberty to go and do as they will and do as they please. And listen, they've been given life. Maybe they grew up in Sunday school. Maybe they went to church on a regular basis. They know about Jesus Christ. They know how to be saved. They know that they must repent of their sins. They know that Jesus died on the cross to save them from their sins. They have been given the light, but they're not saved. And I wonder this morning in this building, who in this building is not saved? I prayed this morning, dear God, anybody that's in this building that's not saved, let them get saved this morning. I don't want you to go to hell. This church don't want you to go to hell.
I want to say this morning that if you go to hell, you'll be just like the man that we read about this morning. And I want to tell you, this man did not have to go to hell. And sinner, you don't have to go to hell. But if you turn a blind eye to the truth, if you turn a deaf ear to the truth, and you walk out them doors and say, not today, not today, preacher. I'm telling you, you're not promised tomorrow. You may die just like this man. And in hell, you'll lift up your eyes. A cry from hell. The Bible said in verse 24 that he cried. He was rich, but he was lost. He was religious, but he was lost. Respectable, but he was lost. He was rebellious to the truth, but he was lost. He cried. Notice how he cried in verse 23. He cried with his eyes wide open. The Bible says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. I want to tell you this morning, sinner, if you die without God, you will be able to see in the flames of hell. You'll see the darkness. You'll see the torments. You'll lift your eyes just like this man is lifting his eyes. Notice it did not say he lifted his eyes, but he lift his eyes. The reason for that is that man is still lifting his eyes in hell right now. Hell, my friend, is a Christless eternity. It is a godless place. He is constantly looking up. I'm telling you, if you die without God, your eyes will see another side of life that you have never seen before. It is the second death. You'll see out into eternity. You'll see the torments, the flames. You'll see the fire. You'll see the opportunities that were missed. Here's a man. He went to hell and he cried with his eyes wide open. He cried. I've seen people go to hell. You say, you don't know their soul. I don't. But I've stood by their bedside. Every preacher has. I watched a man go to hell. The whole time he was dying, he was begging his family. He said, my feet, my legs, they're burning, they're burning. Nurse came in. Hey, he did that for hours. They had that man, that room was so cold, I thought I was going to get pneumonia in it. They turned the air conditioner as low down as they could get it. Nothing but a sheet over his frail body. And he was saying, my legs are burning, my feet are burning. That nurse came in, and I know she was trying to do something to just ease the family in some way, because everybody was crying. She said, the morphine makes people do that sometimes, but morphine don't make people do that. That man went to hell. We tried to win that man to God, and we couldn't. I'm telling you, God is a perfect gentleman this morning. If you want to go to heaven, he'll save your soul right now this morning. But if you want to walk out that door and take your chances and gamble with eternity, God will let you go to hell with your eyes wide open. This man went to hell with his eyes. Why, he cried with his eyes wide open. He saw Abraham. He saw Lazarus. I don't even know how that's capable, but that's what the Bible says, and we believe the Bible, don't we, this morning? And he cried in torments, notice in verse 23. And in hell he lifted his eyes, being in torments. So many torments in hell. One of the torments of hell is mentioned in verse number 24. He's tormented in the flames of hell. Jesus said in Mark 9, verse number 43, he said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He said it again in verse number 45 and again in verse 47. There's fire in hell. There's darkness in hell. So much darkness in hell. There's worms in hell, the Bible says. And this man is tormented in this flame. I'm talking about, sinner, if you go to hell, you'll cry with your eyes wide open, but you'll cry with the torments of hell upon you. I wouldn't want to go to hell and suffer the torments of hell. A witness to a guy who still needs to be saved, pray for this man. And Brother Clarity knows this man. And I witnessed to a man one night, it's been about 3 years ago, 4 years ago maybe, and half of his body got set on fire. He's working on a car. And I was witnessing that man, and he was telling me that story. And I said to him, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, what did that feel like? And this is what he said to me. He said, There's no words. And you know what that's like. He said, there's no words for me to describe to you what it's like when fire ignites on your body. He said, all I can tell you is, he said, is it melted the flesh. And you know this, Brother Clarity, you went through this. He said, the nerves, he said, you don't have no idea how many nerve endings you have all through your body until it is set on fire. He said, all I could do was scream. And I'm telling you, that's what they're doing in hell right now. They're weeping and they're wailing. You know why they're gnashing with their teeth? Because of the agony and the pain, the awful torments of hell. Say, Brother Gravely, you're trying to scare me. No, I'm trying to warn you this morning that there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun this morning. And God ain't playing games with nobody, and neither is the devil this morning. The devil wants your soul, and God wants your soul. And it all depends on who you're going to listen to this morning. But I wouldn't go to hell for nothing or nobody. I wouldn't go to hell for riches. I wouldn't go to hell for sinful pleasures. I wouldn't go to hell for popularity. I wouldn't go to hell for fear of what somebody thought. I'm telling you this morning, hell is a real place. Amen. The torments are just as real as the place and the people that are there this morning. I notice he cried thirsty. The Bible said in verse number 24, he said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Here's a man that is only asking for just a drop. And I thought to myself, why would he only ask for a drop? I mean, why not? You would think in hell, I'd want all the water I could get. But it's because this man is so desperate. He is so desperate that if he could just get one drop, just one little moment, one little second of some kind of relief. If he could just get one little drop, that's all he's asking for is a drop. I want to tell you, sinner, you may not ask God to save you in this life. You may die without God and go to hell. I'll tell you, you'll spend eternity asking the rest of your eternity for something in life. Why don't you ask for salvation? Why don't you come to God and repent? Why don't you ask God to save your soul? I'm telling you, he'll give you more than a drop of water. He'll give you a river of living water that'll flow through your life. Thank God, he'll save you more from hell. He'll save you from your sin. He'll save you from yourself. He'll save you from the devil. Amen. He'll give you a home in glory. Hallelujah. You don't have to go to hell. You want to be saved this morning? I believe God is big enough, and I think you'll agree with this. I believe God's big enough to save every lost person in this building right now. If there's 10 of you lost, he'll save all 10 of you this morning. From the youngest to the eldest. Visitor, member. I don't care if your name's on the church roll, God will save you this morning. You say, preacher, would he save you? Well, he died for you. If he died for you, don't you think he'd save you? Wouldn't it be in vain for Jesus to die for your soul and then not save it? All you got to do is come, amen. The invitation's just come. Get out of that seat and come, amen. I tell you, if you'll get out of that seat and say, God, I'm just coming. The best way I know how, I'm junking everything and I'm coming to Jesus. He'll save your soul this morning. But you'll have to come. Because if you don't, you'll die without God and go to hell. He cried in the flames, verse 24. The Bible said he was tormented in this flame. And then he cried in remembrance. Look at verse 25. Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things. You know, if you die without God and go to hell, one of the most tormenting things about hell itself is that you will have your memory in hell. Could you imagine there are people in hell right now that remember sitting in church on Sunday morning just like we are here? They remember the preacher preaching on hell, warning them they need to be saved. They remember the pianist playing Just As I Am and the congregation singing Just As I Am without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me. They remember grabbing back a hold of that pew and said, no, not now. If I can just get to the car, I'll be okay. But they're not okay, because now, throughout all eternity, they're going to have to spend eternity in hell and remember every time somebody witnessed to them, every time somebody invited them to church, every time somebody gave them a gospel tract. They'll remember every time they opened the Bible and somebody read the words of the scriptures. I want to tell you this morning, I'm preaching the best way I know how with a burden. I want somebody to get saved. I want everybody to get saved, don't you? I'm telling you, if you're lost without God, oh, Spirit of the living God, I pray that you put conviction on their soul right now, so heavy that they'll know that they're lost and need to be saved. Dear God, would you do that right now? I'm telling you this morning, if you're lost, it's now or never, friend. It's turn or burn. It's heaven or hell. It's Jesus or nothing. I'm telling you, you must come to be saved this morning. You must come and be saved. I don't want anybody to go to hell and remember all the times. You know, when you're lost and the preacher's preaching on hell, a lot of times you just want him to quit. You want him to stop. And sometimes people even get mad because the preacher preaches on hell. They don't want to hear it. You know, it'd be the easiest thing in the world to preach a sweet little sermon. And I like them, don't get me wrong. But it'd be the easiest thing in the world, Brother Laddie, preach a sweet little sermon and let you go right on out the door lost. But I thank God. Don't you thank God? Can you remember when the man of God preached to your soul? I thank God. When the preacher preached to my soul, I didn't want to hear it. But the Holy Ghost came to my pew and he showed me I was lost. And he showed me I could not save myself. There was nothing I could do to save myself. And that my sin was going to send me to hell because I was a sinner. And that Jesus died for me. I appreciate the preacher telling me the truth that day, because I might not be saved today. And what I'm saying to you this morning, sinner, we love you and we want to see you get saved. We want to see you get born in the family of God. And I believe the Holy Ghost is working on people's hearts right now. But this man cried in remembrance. He cried in separation. Look at verse 26. Besides all this, between us and you, can you see that? Between us and you, there's a gulf. I'm going to tell you, if you're lost this morning, church member, listen to me. You can join the church, but that don't mean you're going to heaven. I'm not one to ever cast doubt on people's salvation. I don't like to confuse people. But there is a such thing as lost church members. And there are some people, you're always on the outside looking in. Why don't you get in this morning? There's some difference between us and you. You may have religion and you may have the right terminology, but you don't have salvation this morning. You're miserable. And you always are miserable. And you can't never find no peace. You can't never find no joy. You always got to be doing something. Your brain's always got to be running to be happy, because when you get still and you start thinking, I believe that with all my heart. There's some people in church, they think they got to be doing something every single day of their life. But I'm going to tell you why. Because then when they get still and they start thinking, they don't have what it takes. And they're like, well, I need to go do something for God. No, you need to get saved is what you need to do. Because all you're doing ain't going to get you nowheres with God. We're not going to heaven because of what we do or don't do. You got to be born again. You got to be saved. And there are people sitting in churches today who can't get along with nobody. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, they can't get along with nobody. There's people sitting in churches today. Listen, they've been members. They changed churches more than we've changed socks. Somebody say amen.
And they, every church they go to, they got a problem with everybody they go to the church. It's always, it's just a matter of time. You know what I'm saying? They're going to have a problem with somebody. And then they got a problem with their spouse. And then they got a problem with their children. Then they got a, problem with their friends. Then they got a problem with people they work with. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with them people, why they're so junkyard mean. They need a good old-fashioned dose of salvation. Amen? That salvation will sweeten you up a little bit. Salvation will cause you to forgive people. Amen? Salvation will cause you to love people. Amen? Hey, we don't always do right. But I'll tell you what, salvation will make you love the church. It'll make you love the brethren. It'll make you love the Bible. Amen. I'm talking about there's some people, they're just always on the outside. They're separated. And if you don't get saved, listen, you're going to be separated for all eternity this morning. I don't want anybody that's a member of this church to go to hell. But I have seen people that I knew they wasn't saved. You say, you know people's no, but I know when God speaks. I don't go around investigating people. But I know when God speaks. The first time I shook your hand right back there at that door, I never met you in my life. First time I shook that man's hand and been in church how many years? 10 years. The first time I shook his hand, right standing right back there where Sister Heather's sitting, the Holy Ghost said, pray for that man, he's lost. And I can't see nobody's heart, but I do know when God speaks. And there's some of you this morning, you need to be saved. And you know you need to be saved. And if you don't get saved, I'm just telling you, one day we're going to stand before God. And this church body that you've worshiped with all these years at the great white throne is going to watch you cast into the lake of fire, separated from family, from friends, from loved ones. I want us to be together in heaven, don't you? Don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to be in heaven with your family and your friends? And all you got to do is come to Christ. You can be saved. And I'll say finally in closing, he cried for a witness in verse 27. He cried in verse 28, concerned about others who may go to hell. He said in verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wouldest send him, talking about Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. What about a man in hell, so tormented that he doesn't want his family to come there? God, give us this morning as a church, give us a burden for people going to hell. We need one, don't we? I need one. I think that's part of what God may do in this revival. You know, we go out on Saturday. We had a great number yesterday, didn't we? How many did we have? 34
people and 400 doors.
34 people. We knocked on 400 doors. That's commendable. And I'm not fussing. I thank God for that. Don't you thank God for that? But I tell you what I have to ask myself. You can do all that without a burden. We got to have a burden. Do you got a family member going to hell? Do you have a close friend this morning that needs to be in church? Is there somebody that you love today that you don't want to see them go to hell? Oh, may God burden us again for souls. You young men, you know anybody that needs to be saved? Young ladies this morning, how about it? Is there anybody, a friend, somebody you don't want to go to hell? An aunt, an uncle? Sinner, please don't die without God this morning. Miss Allen's going to come and the only thing I know to say to you is if you're lost, get out of your seat and come to the Lord. Take somebody by the hand. Brother Brian's down here. Brother Andrew's down here. Brother Tim's down here this morning. My wife's down here. Miss Noelle's down here. These ladies down here. All you got to do is come down here and take somebody by the hand and say, "Will you show me how to be saved?" Would you do that? Do you want to be saved? Are you concerned about your soul? God, I ask you this morning, Lord, please. I don't know what it'll take to move some people. It'll just take your convicting power. Lord, please deal with hearts this morning as only you can while we stand this morning.